The last time we heard the first part of Stephen's sermon, because he was answering the accusations of those who had come against him. And as I pointed out last time, Stephen is trying to make several different points throughout the whole sermon. And the point that he made last week, the first point, was that God is not limited to one place, as if he was only at the temple, as the Jews believed. And the reason they thought that was because they had misunderstood the point of God's promises. And so Stephen is correcting them. And that's something that he also continues to do in parts of this second reading of his sermon. But the second point that we see clearly in this reading is that he shows them how they have continually resisted God. And because they have resisted God, they have also rejected those God had sent to deliver them from their troubles. God had called on them to repent, and they did not listen. And so Stephen is calling on them to not be like their fathers from so long ago. And so in this second section of Stephen's sermon, he is skipping forward in time. He's moving from Abraham to Moses, because he doesn't see a need to talk about literally everything that happened in the book of Genesis. He skips over a bunch of things to focus on some key points. And Moses is particularly important because of the things that Israel was going through at the time. Stephen says that there was a new Pharaoh who was ruling over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And this new Pharaoh was treating Israel harshly. Stephen says in verse 19, "He dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive." Exposure is the practice of leaving an infant out in the wilderness to die. They are exposing them in that sense to the elements. And Pharaoh was forcing them to do this evil thing as a form of control over them. As long as they were not increasing in number, Israel would belong to Egypt forever. They would always remain their slaves. The girls could be left alive to be assimilated with the Egyptians, but the boys were all killed. But as terrible as this practice was, Christians, it raised another question. It caused another problem. What about God's promises? God had promised Abraham his offspring would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. But if this was happening, and a whole generation was destroyed, how could that happen? God had promised Abraham that his offspring would possess the promised land. But if they were always enslaved to Egypt, how could that come to pass? And so they're at a very critical point in salvation history. God's very promises to Abraham seem to be in danger. But at that time, Stephen says, God raised up a deliverer. Moses was born. And even from his very birth, it was obvious that God was with him. Because Jochebed, Moses' mother, was forced to expose him just as all the others had been exposed. She put him into a basket, she took him to the Nile, and she left him there among the reeds. And then she just simply went away. It was his sister Miriam, we are told, who stuck around to see what would happen to the baby. And while it's hard to say exactly what was going through Jochebed's mind at the time, I wonder if there wasn't a little bit of hope. Because she had made that basket watertight rather than simply throwing him into the river. So whatever she was thinking, whatever was going through her mind at that moment, God was using her to fulfill his purposes. And if God could raise up Moses to deliver him and deliver him in this way, to save his life even from those who were trying to kill him, could he not also do the same for his people? Moses himself was an example of the goodness and the power and the mercy of God towards Israel. All they had to do was look at him, and they would know that God would save them, as he said. But Israel didn't believe. They rejected the promises of God. And because they rejected God's promises, because they rejected God, they also rejected the one that God had sent them. And that's why Stephen chooses to focus on one particular event in the life of Moses. Because when Moses grew up, he found one of his fellow Hebrews being beaten practically to death by an Egyptian. And Moses didn't just leave him alone, as he could have done, refusing to associate with a slave. He struck down the Egyptian, and he buried him in the sand. Now, it is, of course, very easy to think that this was a kind of murder. After all, we are told in the book of Exodus that Moses was afraid when Pharaoh heard about it, and that was the reason why he fled to Midian. But Stephen shows us that it wasn't murder, something which was only done in the heat of the moment. Stephen shows us that Moses was moved to do this because it was a picture of what God was about to do for his people. God was going to use Moses to strike down Egypt and to deliver Israel from their troubles. God's people would be set free. And even if Moses did flee in fear afterwards, that didn't change the point of what God was doing. Moses wasn't perfect. I mean, no saint is. But God was still using him to deliver his people. And in that moment at least, Moses understood what God had called him to do. And so he sought to deliver his brother. But as Stephen says in verse 25, he supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. They couldn't see what God was doing. When Moses tried to stop two of them from fighting, one of them turned and rebuked him. "Do you mean to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Are you going to do the same thing and strike me down? You have no right to tell me what to do, and I will not listen to what you have to say." And even though it was just one man who said this, it was a picture of the whole nation, one which had turned away from God, one which chose instead to go its own way. Israel rejected what God had given them for their good. They were unwilling to follow after Moses, and they constantly wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to be slaves rather than listen to God. God didn't change his mind, of course. He still kept his promise and delivered them through the hand of Moses, because God's promises are not broken by the faithlessness of men. But it did show the hardness of Israel's heart. And that was a pattern which continued all the way down to Stephen's day. And I think this point is easier to see, Christians, when we see how Stephen is setting up a parallel. Because he's not just talking about what happened to Moses a really long time ago. He also wants to apply it to his hearers. Because God had also raised up a deliverer for them, Jesus Christ the Lord. And in many ways, Moses is a picture of Jesus. Like Moses, Jesus was saved as an infant from his enemies. Like Moses, Jesus was mighty in his words and deeds. Like Moses, Jesus had come to deliver his people. And like Moses, Jesus sought to reconcile them both to each other and to the Father. But also like Moses, Jesus was rejected by the people. And like Moses, they refused to listen to Jesus. And they chose instead to go their own way, having crucified the Lord of glory. Stephen's hearers were no different from their fathers. Their fathers had rejected Moses, and they had rejected Jesus, because both of them, in their hardness of heart, had rejected God. Now, Stephen is going to make this point even clearer in the last part of his sermon, which we will get to next week. But it is a point that we also should always take to heart. We do need to be careful, Christians, lest we turn away from the one that God has sent to deliver us from our sins. And maybe that would happen when we turn God's promises into excuses for sin, thinking that it's just fine, even if we openly turn away. Or maybe that would happen when we think that we don't really need Jesus all that much, or maybe not as much today, because we're not nearly as bad as some other people. Maybe we even think we don't need to listen to Jesus, that we don't need to forgive our neighbor, that we don't need to be reconciled to our brother, or whatever it may be. We too can become hard-hearted, like Israel, refusing to listen to God, even as we think that we are serving him. Rather, Christians, we are called to confess our sins to God, who has promised to forgive us in Jesus Christ. We are called to seek to be reconciled to one another, just as Jesus has reconciled us to the Father. We are called to listen to his voice and to follow after him in all things. In a word, we are called to not be stubborn, to admit when we have failed, and to call on God in true faith, because Jesus has come to deliver us as our Savior and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, soften our hearts and do not let us turn away from you, because you have promised mercy to all who call on you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.